This is Embracing Change with Lakrita Bowman and Jennifer Osborne.
And first of all, I should have believed him because he was a public defender, which we call in the judicial system a public pretender, because usually they don't get paid much to represent you, even though they're real lawyers. They usually don't put a lot of stock in your case. But this was God moving on this man's heart for me. And I'm telling you, I tell people every time I share this story, I don't know how I got up the courage to write that letter and tell that judge. And this is what I said to him. I said, you know what? All my life, promises were broken. Life was broken for me. People never kept their word. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I'm going to do the same. But I am going to say this. If you consider me for this special new program you have, I would be willing to learn how to live if you give me somebody to teach me. And I am telling you, in about 2.5 months, they called my name in Marysville, Ohio, ORW. Told me to pack my things, that I was going back to my county. So that judge, Judge Norbonato, decided that I was worth the chance. And in that moment, when I left prison, and I said this starting, I had nowhere to go. I didn't have a roadmap. I didn't have a plan. I really honestly thought I had outslicked the system, y'all. That maybe I wrote a good enough letter that convinced somebody that feel sorry for me for once, and I would be able to get out there and do the same thing I've always done. But God had another plan. And just to kind of speed it up a little bit and just give you some processes, I ended up going to my probation officer about a week after being out, and I asked her for help. And she looked at me and she's like, my job ain't to help you. My job is to make sure you don't go to prison, get a job, and pay any fines that you have. And I was like, what? She's like, that's my job. Your job is to stay out of trouble. And I said, but I'm telling you, I'm going to fail at my job if you don't help me, support me, and get me where I need to be so I can be successful. And she was like, well, I don't know what to do. And she went and got her supervisor. And he came in, Mr. Gray, he came in. And he looked at me and he said, well, we don't have any programs here in Hamilton, Ohio, because I was from Hamilton. He said, we don't have any programs. I'm not sure what you need. And, you know, there's just not anything out there. He said, but I can check around and see if there's any program somewhere else. Are you willing to leave Hamilton? And I said, I'm willing to do anything. He said, well, okay, come back tomorrow morning. So I came back. I don't think he thought I was coming back, but I came back. And when I got there that morning, he said, well, the only way that we can get you in this one program is the Talbert House, and it's in Cincinnati. We're gonna have to get the judge to order you there. I said, okay, let's get ordered. And he's like, okay, well, tomorrow we'll come back. I'm like, dang, every day I gotta come back. And the next day I came back and he said, well, now that you're here, we're gonna go over across the street, we're gonna go in front of the judge, and we're gonna ask the judge to do a court order. And that court order is going to put you in jail. And that jail time, you're gonna have to wait for a bid. Now, didn't I go and try to avoid going back to jail? Wasn't that the whole point of this story? But you know what? There's a difference between spending time and doing time. All my life I had done time. This time it was my choice. And I was going to be spending time. And I spent 6 weeks waiting on a bed in Talbert House. It was the best 6 weeks of my life. Because see, when I was there in 1992 and in 1991, and when I was there in my mother's womb, before I was born on September 12th, 1960, God was present. And he saw me. And Jeremiah talks about, before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. So God knew who I was. I just didn't know who he was. And he was processing this moment for me. And so those 6 weeks, I got to read the Bible. I didn't really understand it. It's a whole lot of stories. Come on. Didn't really, you know, Adam, Eve, you know, Moses. Who are these people? You know what I mean? The fall. What does that mean? Ham. What does it, who is that? Noah building the ark. Who is that? But as I continued my process at Talbot House, and I got connected to a local body and to some believers, I began to know that my name was also written in that book. And that even though I'd made a lot of mistakes and I had did some crazy, can I say that? I hurt a lot of people because, see, hurt people hurt people. And I was hurt. So I was hurting other people. I was disrespecting people. I was not respecting authority. I cannot sit here and say that my prison stays was all my mother's fault or the man that abused me fault or the judge that put me in the mental hospital. No, no, no. They made 3 decisions. I made millions of decisions. Somewhere I had to learn how to take responsibility for the choices I made. And that's what happened. As I began to take more responsibility, as I began to go through the process of change, as I began to look at myself, he asked God to heal my wounds. And I ain't looking talking about no spiritual stuff. Like sometimes I tell people, if it ain't simple, sometimes it just ain't practical. And if it ain't practical, it usually ain't spiritual. I've learned that spirituality is a simplicity walk with God. It's like, you know, just that little, you know, have you ever had that moment that something inside your gut tells you something? It's called instincts. And then your intellect get in the way. Come on. And start telling you what not to do. But then there's the Holy Spirit that sits in the middle on both sides of your intellect and your intuition and your instincts. And I am telling you, I learned to be introduced to the middle person, which is the Holy Spirit, through Jesus, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I went through Bible studies and I got baptized and I began to look at the word and I began to see the stories that was written, and they were written to encourage me, to let me know that guess what? He's writing my story too. And he's not just writing my story for me. He was writing my story for me to be here today. So I could say to you all, thank you for already being here, for showing up before I got here, for knowing that women are the masterpiece, come on, of creation. And he was putting me back together through counseling and through the Bible and through fellowship. And then all of a sudden, I've been out of prison, y'all, for like 5 years. Come on, I'm doing the daggone thing. I got a good life. I'm married. Before I went to prison, I had a son I hadn't seen. He was back in my life. I had a job. Had my first apartment. Had my furniture. I'm doing the daggone thing. Because I had never been out of prison no longer than about a year and a half. So I'm out now. And I'm minding my own business in church, in worship. Y'all know worship, right? Worship is a time that you not just talk about what you want from God, but to tell the Lord how grateful you are for what he done for you. And I was in that space. And I had not heard that voice, y'all. The whole time after that moment that I got out of prison. Because, see, I believe that obedience is the way that you walk and behave. Meaning, if he opened the door for prison and he let me out a miraculous moment, That he gave me opportunities to come to Talbot House. He gave me opportunities to get counseling. He gave me opportunities to connect to the body of Christ. He gave me opportunities to really be healed and look at my wounds and realize that I was fighting a fight of pain. So now I'm good. I'm ready to sit in the, you know how we get in our comfort zone? We get a chair, excuse me, and we just sit on down in the chair. Come on, and the Lord done moved on our behalf, and we good. And that's where I was. I had got comfortable. And then out of nowhere, the Lord spoke to me, and he invited me on a journey. And what he said to me is, would you be willing to go back into the darkness? And I'll be your light, Lucreta. Because you know where the snakes are. You know where the high waters are. You know where the places are that you don't want to necessarily do. You know what it feels like to want to get out of a maze of destruction, but don't know the way out. Would you be my guide and I'll be your light and go back into the darkness and help other women come out of that maze? And I said, heck no. I don't know if I cut the microphone off or it went out, but I talk pretty loud. Is this still on? But anyway, what I realized is I'm like, heck no, I ain't going all back there. That's crazy. Because I'm comfortable now. And you know the God we serve? He does not force our hand. He invites us on a journey. Every one of you all that are here today, nobody forced you to be here. He invited you, and you showed up. And that's what he did with me. I was in a women's conference in South Carolina with 4,000 other women. Now, can you imagine in a coliseum with 4,000 other women? And all of a sudden, the preacher that was on stage, the woman, she called me out. Not by name, by the red shirt I had. And she looked way up and she said, you with the red shirt on. Now, there's a couple of people around me with the red shirt on. So, of course, it wasn't me she was talking to. So I looked around. A couple other people with the red shirt on looked around. And she said, no, you on the left with the glasses. There's a few other women with some glasses on with a red shirt. So surely, God, she's not talking about me. So everybody, she said, no, you. And then she count the seats and she got to me. She said, stand up. Yes, you, stand up. So I stood up. She said, the Lord has invited you to do something with him. And you have said no. And I'm not sure exactly what it is, but you know what it is. And I'm asking you to consider what he has asked you as a great journey for your next level of healing. And I am telling you, that was in 1995. I went home from that conference and I poured my life out to God and I said, I don't know. I'm not educated. I only have my GED. I barely got that. Thank God for prison. I said, I know that I'm not a dummy because dumb people don't survive some of the things that I have survived. And still be in the peace that I am in. So if you, Lord, will teach me what you're asking me to do, I would be willing to learn. And the first thing he showed me was, there are women just like you that want to get out of that maze. And I have something I want to say to you. And I have something I need you to do for me. The first thing I need you to have is to continue to have the courage to change the grid. And I want you to name this program, Having the Courage to Change. And I have homes that I want you to open up for these women. And I want you and your husband to live with these women. I want you to eat with them, sup with them. and sleep with them. And I want you to teach them from me that I have loved them before the foundations of this world, and that I know them by name. Some will listen to you, and some will not, just like you had before. But you keep going. And I am telling you, we opened our first home in 1997. In 1998, City Gospel Mission wanted to do the same, and instead of reproducing it, they found this little African-American young lady sitting over in Evanston, doing her thing, come on, because God said so. I'd given everything up. My husband was working, the women were living, we had about 15 women living in a 3-bedroom house. But we believed that God was calling us to do this. So when City Gospel Mission came, they had a house that was over in Mount Auburn. They invited us to partner. We partnered for a year, and in 1999, we merged. And from there, we got New Beginning Home, Eve House, and Ruth and Naomi. We are now, over this many years, we've served over 1,500 women. And the reason people will say, that's not a lot in that many years. Yes, it is. Because we keep it small. We keep it 5 women. Because the number 5 is for grace. And it's intimate enough for us to know you by name and know you by God's name. And it doesn't matter your identity or where you come from. We see you, and so does he. And so we become a community. And we eat together and sleep together, and our staff, and they love on us. And no, I'm telling you, this is work of the Lord. Just like what you all do, it's work of the Lord. And I was just saying this today, and I need to encourage myself as well as you. When we dropped the water over there and the young man came to clean it up, I said to the Lord, thank you for having a body that every piece is needed. Come on. The hand needs the arm. The eyes needs the ears. And when he did that, I said, I am so grateful. I'm getting to a place in my life. I'm just so grateful that everybody got a part in this thing called life. And the way God gets things done, he moves on the hearts of his people. And he asks them on an invitational journey to get what needs to be done. He is still inviting me after 20-something years on a new journey. I'm getting ready to build 3 new homes because the need with the epidemic of opiates and fentanyl and now meth is so, I mean, it's just so overwhelming. Not to God. But you know what? He showed me a vision about 3 years ago, and he said, I'm starting to wake people up. It's almost like I'm coming by and tapping them on their shoulders, just like I did you that night. And I'm asking them to come on a journey to discover who they really are. Not what they've been through, not what was done to them, but who I created them to be. And I am telling you all, I still say, we as women are God's masterpiece. And when we get together, the devil himself ought to be shaking in his boots because things are about to happen. When you can get women to agree on anything, come on now. You know us, we like to run everything. We know more than anybody. But when you can get us to agree, we know that life is about to change. And so City Gospel Mission has been around for 96 years. We have job programs. We have the housing and recovery for women. We have the homeless shelter. A lot of people know about the homeless shelter. And we also have youth. And I love them all, but I ain't been called to those. I've been called to the brokenhearted, one life at a time, the despair, the ones who want to get out of the maze as women and don't know how. I am still saying to him, here I am, Lord. Send me, our God. Send me, our God. Even through fear, our God. Because you are still the light. You are still guiding me. You're still teaching me. And I am still learning. And so today I just want to thank you all for giving me a chance to be reminded again of God's goodness, his grace, his mercy, and his ever-loving kindness toward me. Thank you. My book, please, now that you've heard a little bit of my story, I know you're curious. My book gives you detail about the journey, and it tells you about, and I always say, and it helps us in our mission, but it also, I always say, you know one somebody in your life. It's an evangelist tool. You know one somebody, come on, that could use that book, and most of us have someone sitting next to us that knows somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody. Because life and brokenness don't miss none of our houses. It's just how we choose to operate in it. So my book is a journal, really it's a journey of my story. And I think if you're working with the homeless, I think that would be a good place to put some of those books and, you know what I'm saying, and really encourage the women. If you want a few, I'll give them to you for that group. I don't mind that. And so, but my book is just about my story. It's about breaking the cycle of self-abuse. We talk about drug abuse. We talk about domestic violence. We talk about, but I had to learn how to quit killing me. See, I got to a point in my life, I looked in the mirror, and I was my own enemy. And God has changed my name and changed my position. And now I am his daughter, and I am my friend, and now I'm loving other people, and they are my friends. So that's what my book is about. And so today I just want to thank you all for giving me a chance to be reminded again of God's goodness, his grace, his mercy, and his ever-loving kindness toward me. Thank you.
Hi, guys. Every week we get the honor of spending time with you, sharing our hearts, and offering insights into all the ways we get turned around as people, and hopefully showing an escape route to better choices. Another place that is offering the same type of path for better opportunities is City Gospel Mission. Since 1924, they've been a beacon of hope to the homeless, those recovering from life-controlling issues, youth, and to those needing job services. If you'd like to volunteer or donate, you can visit www.citygospelmission.org. That is www.citygospelmission.org. Thanks. You've been listening to the Embracing Change podcast. Music production and mastering by Gone Coastal Productions. Podcast editing and production by Jennifer Osborne. Podcast copyright 2021 by Lacreta Bowman.